Hello everyone, welcome to pre-ICANN64 policy update webinar on Thursday, 28th of February 2019 at 1600 UTC. I'm Ozan Şahin from ICANN Middle East and Africa Regional Office in Istanbul, and I would like to draw your attention to some information in the housekeeping rules pod before we get started. Please make sure to check this pod located on the left bottom corner of your screen.
I thought I mentioned it, so...
Today we will start with a briefing from Policy Development Support Team, which will last about 40 minutes. Then we will move on to questions and answers part of the webinar. In the meantime, please feel free to type your questions or comments in the chat box. I will keep an eye on it and raise your questions at the Q&A section of the webinar. I'm now turning it over to David Oliver for his opening remarks. David? David, we cannot hear you if you are talking at the moment.
Thank you, Ozan. Sorry. Welcome, everyone. I am pleased to present the pre-ICANN 64 policy webinar. We do this in advance of each ICANN meeting, but in particular, we have added a new feature or a new innovation, a pilot to consolidate all the pre-ICANN public meeting webinars into 1 week, this particular week, before we begin to travel. And you may have heard webinars from our MSSI group, compliance policy obviously is taking place now, and finance will be taking place later today. So we hope this will be a good way to focus attention and to provide some preparatory materials. In addition, we also have published two very helpful documents. One is the pre-ICANN 64 policy report that provides an outline and overview of many of the issues that will be discussed and debated at ICANN 64, and of course the ICANN policy briefing from the GNSO, which gives more in-depth details of the policy development processes of the GNSO currently underway. So to that extent, I hope these materials will provide a good background for all of you as you prepare for the session. ICANN 64 is a community forum, a gathering of the community, the board, and the organization. The meeting will feature two public forums, cross-community sessions, high-interest topics, as well as outreach and engagement activities. In the community forum, the Tuesday will be dedicated to a meeting of the constituencies and stakeholder groups where they have joint meetings with the board of directors and, of course, meet among themselves. Thursday will feature an ICANN board-led session on ICANN governance and a question and answer session from the ICANN org executive team. And throughout the week, there will be update sessions on the budget, reviews, and more. Here, I just wanted to highlight a few of those sessions, cross-community or high-interest topics that will be taking place, and the program will have more details on that, and we look forward to welcoming you there. Of course, our global community of stakeholders participates with various different points of view and backgrounds, and they help coordinate and support the unique identifiers of the Internet. The Internet functions because we're all involved and invited to make it work. And consensus policies developed through the multi-stakeholder model, I think, are effective and have the greatest legitimacy because of your interest and hard work in making that so. So we have, obviously, the policy side and the advice development side of which people are involved with, and we welcome this opportunity to brief you on the current issues before us as we proceed to Kobe, Japan. With that, I'll turn it over to my colleagues to give you some of the details. And again, thank you for joining. Oh, before we do that, I'd like to just go into one quick question to get everyone's attention. Out of the 256 sessions now scheduled at ICANN 64, how many will be supported by the policy team in what you're doing for policy and vice development work? Is it 55? 110, 165, or 192. Please vote what you think might be that number, because it will indicate the level of your activity and involvement in the ICANN processes. And so, the answer is, we're still voting, okay. Well, the answer is, believe it or not, 192. But for those who were at least in that range, that shows the level of interest and activity of our stakeholders involved in policy development and advice, as well as generally in the ICANN activity. So I thank you for that. With that, I'll turn it over to the substance of my colleagues to talk to you about the various supporting organizations and advisory committee activities. Thank you.
Thank you, David. So my name is Bart Boswinkel, and I have the honor to start this substantive web part of the webinar to provide you the first heads up for what is happening in COVID. And in this case, it will be on, say, what is happening by the CCTLD community present and the main topics for them, at least the policy-related ones. As you can see on the slide, main focus will be from a policy perspective on the PDP of retirement of CCTLDs. I will go into a little bit more detail in a few minutes, but be aware this PDP or this part, the PDP on retirement, is part of a larger third PDP. The second part will be on to develop a review mechanism pertaining to decisions on delegation, transfer, revocation, and retirement of CCTLD. So it's this PDP consists effectively of two parts. A second important policy-related topic will be on a review of the recommended policy, IDN overall policy on. As some of you will know, this policy was submitted to the board in 2013, but by mutual agreement, pending the further evolution of the fast track process, the board has not adopted or not taken a decision on this policy yet. In the meantime, say, because of the evolution of the fast track process and there is a close link, the policy needs to be reviewed and also to take into account the development of, say, developments around variance management, etc. So this is a second major policy topic for the CCTLD to discuss. And the third one will be around the intermediate or initial results of the study group on emojis. This study group was initiated following a board request that was the result of SEC 95. SEC 95 was on the risk associated with the use of emojis as domain names, and the CCNSO took it upon itself to create this study group to as a kind of fact-finding mission, and to bring together the perspective of CCTLDs that accept emojis as second-level domains, but also to underscore and present to them the risk associated with the use of emojis, so the substance of SEC 95. And finally, from a substantive point of view, I want to draw your attention to the Customer Standing Committee Effectiveness Review. This will reach its conclusion, or has reached its conclusion very recently. The second, or the public comment period closed on the 25th, And yesterday, the working group or the review team agreed to submit its final report to the CCNSO and GNSO councils by tomorrow, given the support on its findings and recommendations. So as you can see, the two lines at the bottom of this slide around the other events or other sessions at for the CCTLDs. One is about the technical and operational cooperation between CCTLDs. For those interested, there is Tech Day on Monday, and there is the CCNSO Members Day on Tuesday and Wednesday, where other topics which are of interest to CCTLDs will be discussed. So if you're interested in CCTLD-related matters, you're kindly invited to attend Tech Day on Monday and the CCNSO Members Day on Tuesday and Wednesday. So as said in the start of my presentation, I will go into a little bit more detail around the third PDP of the CCNSO and focusing on the retirement of CCTLDs. The working group to date has completed an analysis of the retirement cases in the past and its glossary. This was done around Barcelona. But between Barcelona and Kobe, they've reached a consensus on the, in principle, on the basic process and duration of the retirement process. So that's a main step forward. The basic process will take up to 5 years from the time a country code, that will be the recommendation, will take 5 years up from the point in time when a country code is removed from the ISO 3166 list up and until the CCTLD itself. So note the difference between country code and CCTLD. Is removed from the DNS root zone file. If PTI, and so that's and the CCTLD manager agree, this duration may be extended a little bit longer until 10 years as of the removal of the country code from the ISO 3166 list. So that's more or less the basic principle, and they will present this to the community in the CCTLD community present in Kobe and to seek their input and feedback. The working group itself will further discuss the some other cases which they haven't reached agreement on yet or consensus. That is the removal of when is the retirement of IDN CCTLD triggered, as well as the triggering event for exceptionally reserved codes. And a second main topic will be on the oversight process and decision making around the policy development process. And with this, I end my part of the presentation. I hope you had a bit of an improved and increased your interest in the CCTLD matters. And I'd like to hand over to Marika. Marika, go ahead.
Thank you very much, Bart, and hello everyone from Costa Rica. Buenos dias. Thank you very much for joining today's policy briefing. I'm just getting back into Adobe Connect, so if you give me 1 second to get to the next slide. So as you can see, my name is Marika Konings. I'm a Vice President for Policy Development for the GNSO, or the Generic Names Supporting Organization. As you can tell from this slide, a lot of work has been planned for IHIN 64. Continuing the trend that was set a number of meetings ago, the GNSO has carved out significant time at ICANN 64 for its policy development activities. The different policy development process working groups have been allocated substantial face-to-face time to progress their deliberations, with almost full-day meetings for the expedited policy development process team on the temporary specification for GTLD registration data phase two, as well as the new GTLD subsequent procedures PDP working group. In addition, several additional face-to-face meetings have been scheduled throughout the week for these groups, as well as the review of all rights protection mechanisms, or RPMs, in all GTLD's PDP working group. The ePDP team, which I'll cover in a bit more detail shortly, is expected to focus its time in COBE on planning for phase two of its work, and will meet in this context with the technical study group on access to non-public registration data. The new GTLD subsequent procedures PDP working group is expected to continue its review and deliberations on comments received to the working group supplemental initial report, which considers topics additional to those that were found in the initial report. And similarly, it's work track five, which is focused on the topic of geographic names at the top level, will continue its review on the comments received on the work track five supplemental initial report. And the RPM's PDP working group is expected to discuss the results of the data analysis of trademark claims and Sunrise RPMs, while the working group sub-teams are expected to begin development of preliminary recommendations in relation to phase one of its work. And as a reminder, all these meetings are open for anyone interested to attend and observe. And bilateral meetings are also scheduled with the country code supporting organization, the CCNSO, and the Governmental Advisory Committee, the GAC, to discuss issues of common interest and or activities that have been jointly organized. For example, the GNSO and GAC are expected to discuss the status of the curative rights protection for IGO-INGO's policy development process, while the Customer Standing Committee review and the results of the CCNSO Emoji Study Group are on the agenda for the joint meeting with the CCNSO, amongst others. During its Sunday session, the GNSO is expected, amongst others, to receive an update from the Nominating Committee to review and discuss the status of implementation of GNSO PDP 3.0 improvements. They're expected to receive an update from ICANN's Global Domains Division on the status of implementation of adopted GNSO policy recommendations, and meet with the ICANN finance team. As many of you know, Tuesday will be dedicated to GNSO stakeholder group and constituency internal meetings on the so-called Constituency Day. The Open GNSO Council meeting on Wednesday is expected to include topics such as the reappointment of Becky Burr to seat 13 on the ICANN board, PDP 3.0 implementation update, review of the FY20 budget input, the new GNSO chair election timeline, as well as a discussion on the transfer policy review. The GNSO will then wrap up its activities at ICANN 64 with a wrap-up session, which will at the same time mark the start of planning for ICANN 65. As there has been significant interest in the activities of the ePDP, I have a couple of additional slides on that topic before I hand it over to my colleague. So as a brief reminder, this effort was launched by the GNSO Council on 19th July 2018 in response to the adoption by the ICANN board of the temporary specification on GTLD registration data. The ePDP team convened for its first meeting on the 1st of August of last year, and the scope of its work includes confirming or not the temporary specification by the 25th of May 2019, the date following which the temporary specification will expire. Additionally, the scope includes discussion on a standardized access system to non-public registration data, as well as topics identified in the annex to the temporary specification. However, discussions on these phase two items is only to occur after the ePDP team has answered a series of gating questions which have been specified in the ePDP team's charter and are addressed in its final report on phase one, as well as a non-objection from the GNSO Council. So the next slide provides you with a high-level overview of the timeline the team was working against for its phase one task. And even though this effort is called an expedited policy development process, it's important to understand that this need for expedition has actually come from an external factor, which is the expiration of the temporary specification following the 25th of May 2019. And as such, this has been the driving factor for the timeline, which needed not only to factor in the time that the team needed to deliberate on the charter questions, but also subsequent GNSO Council as well as ICANN board consideration of those recommendations. Note as well that this timeline does not factor in phase two topics, and this will be the next focus of the EPDP team with an accompanying timeline that will need to be developed and discussed. So on the 21st of November 2018, the EPDP team published its initial report, which was followed by a 30-day public comment period. The initial report included the EPDP team's proposed responses to this charter question, as well as preliminary recommendations for community inputs. From the close of the public comment period at the end of December until the end of January, the EPDP team worked really hard to review all the comments, and they used a so-called public comment review tool for that, and you can find those posted on the EPDP team's wiki. The EPDP team incorporated the public comments into its final report, you know, where it believed warranted, and the report, which was finalized and delivered to the GNSO Council on the 20th of February 2019. The final report itself contains 29 recommendations, all of which received a full consensus support apart from two. The recommendations addressed, amongst others, the purposes for processing data, details on the collection and transfer of specifically identified data elements to different parties, the display and redaction of those data elements, modification to certain existing ICANN policies, ICANN consensus policies, you know, such as a transfer policy, a proposed implementation bridge that ensures that there's no gap between the expiration of the temporary specification and the subsequent implementation of the new policy, and a number of items that were flagged for further discussion during phase two of the EPDP team's work. So on this slide, you can find all the recommendations and topics, the recommendations addressed. You know, I won't go through these in detail, but I would recommend that if you are interested in the further details, that you review the final report or, at a minimum, the executive summary of that report. So what is next? The GNSO Council had an initial exchange of views on the final report during its meeting on the 21st of February, but at the request of a number of groups, it was decided to defer consideration to the 4th of March Council meeting, which is next Monday, to allow the different GNSO groups to consult with their members, which is expected to be happening this week. Once the GNSO Council adopts the policy recommendations with the required supermajority support, as this concerns EPDP recommendations, these will be submitted to the ICANN board for its consideration. Prior to the board considering these recommendations, a public comment period will be open to allow the broader community to provide input to help inform the board's consideration of these recommendations. At the same time, for the requirements of the ICANN bylaws, the GAC will be notified and requested to indicate if there are any public policy concerns that the board should factor in as it considers these recommendations. Following the close of the public comment period, the ICANN board will then consider the recommendations for adoption, you know, factoring in any input that will have been received, which is then subsequently followed by the expiration of the temporary specification on the 26th of May. As noted previously, assuming that non-objection is provided by the GNSO Council during its 4th of March meeting, the EPDP team itself will shift its focus to phase two of its work. You know, for more information about this initiative, as well as any other GNSO topics not covered today, I would like to encourage you to review the GNSO policy briefings. Ariel provided a link to that earlier on in the chat. These are published prior to every ICANN meeting and are intended to help everyone prepare accordingly. And with that, I'll hand it over to my colleague, Carlos.
Thank you very much, Marika. Hello, everyone. This is Carlos Reyes with a brief update from the Address Supporting Organization. As you know, the Address Supporting Organization is a supporting organization within ICANN that recommends policies on Internet number resources to the ICANN board. My update today will be brief since there are no global policies under consideration right now related to Internet number resources. Firstly, from the ASO, we have their ongoing organizational review. The review itself took place in 2017, and in 2018, the Address Council spent most of the year preparing for implementation of those recommendations. The Address Council has started to make changes to their operational procedures and coordinating next steps as necessary. There are ongoing community discussions around the future of the future structure of the ASO. This was the final recommendation in the organizational review. So as those conversations wrap up, there will be next steps that the ICANN board and the ASO will consider. In terms of regional policy development, this is where the bulk of policy development activity happens for Internet number resources. This week, yesterday, the APNIC 47 meeting wrapped up, and I'm focusing specifically on APNIC since that is the region where the ICANN meeting takes place beginning next week in Kobe. There were five proposals that were considered by the APNIC community. Three of those proposals actually did reach consensus and are moving ahead, and then two were sent back to the mailing list for further discussion, including a discussion on modifying the policy development process within the APNIC region. So there's a lot of activity there. The APNIC meeting is the first regional Internet registry meeting of the year, and it kicks off the first cycle of RIR meetings. So the remaining four regional Internet registries will have their meetings in the coming weeks and months. The other activity that is a priority right now for the ASO is the selection process for ICANN Board Seat 10. There are currently two candidates, and interviews and further deliberation are currently underway. Just a quick highlight of the ASO schedule for the Kobe meeting. The ASO Address Council will be conducting its annual meeting on Monday. This is the one opportunity a year that the Address Council convenes at an ICANN meeting. So they will be conducting their work and in two open sessions. And then later that week on Wednesday, they'll have an information session where they'll provide updates on regional policy development as well as operational updates from the regional Internet registries. And there will also be a presentation from the IANA functions operator, PTI, as you know. With that, I finished my update from the Address Supporting Organization, and we transition to the advisory committees and my colleague, Heidi Ulrich.
Thank you very much, Carlos. Hello, everyone. My name is Heidi Ulrich. I'm Vice President for Policy Development and At-Large Relations. Along with my colleagues, Evan Agdodu and Sylvia Vivenko, I will be giving you a preview of the key topics and activities of the At-Large Advisory Committee, or the ALAC, and the At-Large Community during ICANN 64. For those of you who may not be familiar with ALAC, the 15 members of this committee represent the best interests of individual Internet users within ICANN. The at-large community currently consists of 233 at-large structures and 103 individuals. Moving to the key at-large activities during ICANN 64, the at-large or ALAC will have 23 sessions during ICANN 64. They will also be participating actively in the EPDP, subsequent procedures, and HIT sessions. Notably, under the ALAC chair, Maureen Hilliard, this is her first meeting, at-large sessions will be in an interactive workshop-style format. There will be a focus on three primary policy topics, the first being balancing privacy with security and stability for the Internet end user. The second one is universal acceptance, and the third are subsequent procedures. And Evan will be discussing these policy issues in depth next. There will also be updates on the two main at-large projects, the first being the at-large review implementation. And the working group will continue to make progress on the eight issues it is addressing, including their policy advice process, outreach and engagement, and communications. The board approved the at-large review implementation plan in January, and progress has been continuing in all eight issue areas since then. The second project is the third at-large summit, or Atlas III, and plans for Atlas III will be discussed during ICANN 64. There's been a lot of progress made in the last several months. This will include updates on the program and criteria for those attending. And Atlas III will be taking place at ICANN 66 in Montreal. Also, at-large leaders will be participating in a leadership development session on Saturday. The session will include topics on developing effective leadership. And this skills development session is part of a series of skills development sessions that are part of the at-large review implementation. Additionally, there will be sessions on capacity building as well as outreach engagement, and they will be providing updates on key issues related to both regional activities and knowledge raising. And also finally, for my part, at-large will be meeting with the following groups: the board, the GAC, and NPOC, leadership of the CCNSO and ESAC, and also for the first time with the GNSO leadership. And also at-large will be holding a joint outreach session with the NCSG. I would now like to give the floor to Evan, who will discuss the ALAC policy issues. Evan?
Thank you, Heidi. Hello, this is Evan Erdodu, Policy Development Senior Coordinator. During the ICANN 64 Community Forum in Kobe, the At-Large Community and Advisory Committee will focus on three policy topics. The first being balancing privacy with security and stability for the Internet end user. From the at-large perspective, GDPR and other privacy regulation around the world has led to a renewed focus on the intersection between registrant privacy and the benefits to Internet end users from a more open system of DNS data, including limitations on spam, phishing, and malware, as well as enhanced law enforcement and consumer protection. During ICANN 64, at-large will attempt to explore this topic in some depth, including potential trade-offs between privacy, security, and stability. At-large will also discuss challenges and opportunities with universal acceptance. One of the most significant keys to the successful expansion of the domain name system is universal acceptance. If the majority of online systems reject URLs and email addresses in local languages, it will limit the potential of new generic top-level domains to promote choice, innovation, and economic opportunity in the DNS. At-large will discuss the state of universal acceptance, in particular if there is a role for at-large structures in promoting the concept to major players in their region. Finally, the at-large community will focus on subsequent procedures and objectives for the at-large community. ICANN 64 will provide an opportunity to promote greater participation by underserved regions and communities, given the at-large objective to see more applications from these groups. The issues the at-large community will discuss with the Consolidated Policy Working Group include suggestions from the new GTLD subsequent procedures initial reports that seem workable to encourage participation, timing of specific rounds to play a role in encouraging more participation, and consideration of whether a brand round would conflict with a community round. The at-large community will be discussing these issues and others related to ICANN policy during ICANN 64. To see all at-large policy comments and advice, please visit the at-large website policy summary page and a new executive summaries page for ALAC policy comments and advice. And now I will turn it over to my colleague, Sylvia Vivanco, at-large regional affairs senior manager. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Evan. Hello, everyone. My name is Sylvia Vivanco. I am Senior Manager at Large Regional Affairs, and I will provide you with a brief overview of the main activities of the five regional at-large organizations during ICANN 64. The RALO activities will include a regional leadership meeting focusing on cross-RALO activities. All RALO chairs and secretariats will meet to discuss topics where collective input and decisions are required. Then we will have the AfRALO African session. As customary, the African community will meet to discuss topics of relevance for this community. This time, the statement on the new GTLD subsequent procedure proposal of NEOSTAR regarding the upcoming round of new GTLDs will be discussed. The AP-RALO session and the joint APEC Hub AP-RALO networking session. AP-RALO will hold its monthly meeting in COVID, where they will review AP-RALO's activities and priorities, projects and strategic priorities. The APEC Hub and AP-RALO will hold as well a joint networking reception, which will feature speeches by AP-RALO's leadership and APEC Hub community members. At large, RALO and regional partners outreach and engagement planning meeting. This session will include RALO regional partners, such as regional internet registries, and other partners, such as top-level domain organizations. A segment of this meeting will be held in a workshop format. And finally, the at-large community will have a dedicated at-large AP-RALO booth at the venue to welcome all ICANN 64 attendees, visitors, newcomers, and to provide information on the community and its activities. Please come and visit the booth. And now I will turn it over to my colleague, Rob Hogarth, for an update on that. Over to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sylvia. Good day, everybody. I'm Rob Hogarth. I have the honor and responsibility of supporting GAC work efforts along with a great team of professionals, Julia Charbelin, Gulten Tepe, Benedetta Rossi, and Fabian Betremieux. We're looking forward to a very active meeting in Kobe, where the two overall themes for the GAC are going to be normalcy and evolution. When you talk about normalcy, of course, that's an odd term here at ICANN, simply because I don't know that we ever have a normal at ICANN. But the distinguishing factor for the GAC in Kobe is going to be in comparison to what took place back in Barcelona at ICANN 63. That meeting was heavily focused on the high-level governmental meeting, where the GAC had 124 different delegations from governments and observing organizations, and many, many of those individual participants were senior government officials, essentially the bosses of the regular GAC representatives and participants. So while Barcelona featured a lot of briefing time, squiring around the various bosses and senior officials, making sure that they were engaged in bilateral meetings with other governments and with the ICANN senior staff, the Kobe meeting really responds to a sense of normalcy in that the bosses are gone, the GAC participants can focus once again on just the details of the policy and advice matters that are priorities for them. And it's really a roll-up-your-sleeves opportunity for the GAC participants to focus on a number of substantive issues as well as operational issues for the governments in ICANN. In Kobe, the primary focus will be on substantive issues involved with who is and data protection matters, as well as an array of new GTLD policy matters, including IGO curative rights, geographic names, particularly with respect to the subsequent procedures that the GNSO is looking toward with the next round of new GTLDs, as well as two-character concerns and auction proceeds. There's also going to be a substantial emphasis on operational issues, and that's really where the evolution comes in, if you will. We've got the accountability recommendations that are going to impact the GAC and how it operates within the empowered community, as well as within its own operations. And the GAC has started a new operating principles working group that will not only address those types of issues, but really take an overall look at the operating principles that the GAC has and determine how those need to evolve, either with more specificity in some cases, more clarity in others, and an elimination of some operating principles that may no longer be necessary. So a real balance for the GAC in terms of the work that gets done there. In general, from a scheduling perspective, the GAC has also evolved how it's planned for this upcoming meeting as a response to recognizing that essentially at any meeting, only about 40% of members actually show up in person. The GAC continues to put an emphasis on remote participation. And that remote doesn't just mean geographically that someone's not at the meeting, but there's also a recognition that a lot goes on at an ICANN meeting that GAC members simply can't participate in because the GAC agenda is so jam-packed. So some of the adjustments we've made to the GAC schedule include putting similar topics together in blocks. So we've essentially moved to more of a block format. If there is a topic that you're interested in hearing the government representatives deliberate or that you want to focus on, when you look at the GAC schedule, you'll see major topic areas that refer to, you know, overall high-level topic titles like operational focus of the GAC or GAC operations and accountability or new GTLD matters. And then within those blocks, the GAC will be focused on specific topics and areas of concern. So that's one innovation that we hope will help people not only be able to plan their participation, but also after the meeting is over, help them go back and more easily find the topics and the transcripts or the recordings and come up to speed much more quickly. The other major change, and this is one that I hope not many of you will see or experience, and even true for many GAC participants, is that this will be the first meeting without the GAC independent secretariat. The ICANN staff has taken over that responsibility for this calendar year, so we are much more involved for the Kobe meeting at working with the GAC in terms of the briefing documents that help the participants prepare, as well as the communique drafting and just general meeting management. So we hope that that will be a seamless process that many of you won't even notice if you drop by the GAC room. So finally, if you have any questions or interest in either the GAC schedule or questions that come up during the meeting, please drop by the GAC room. At any time that you're in the room, please come to the back if you have questions, and our staff team will be more than happy to help. We look forward to seeing you all in Kobe and expect it'll be a busy meeting. I will stop there and turn it over to you, Andrew McConaughey, for further updates. Thanks very much.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Rob. Hello. My name is Andrew McConaughey. I support the Root Server System Advisory Committee, and I'm now going to give you a bit of an update on the RSAC activities at ICANN 64. In 2018, the RSAC published RSAC 37 and RSAC 38. Currently, these are at the board, and the RSAC is awaiting a response from the board. These publications propose a governance model for the root server system, and the RSAC is waiting on next steps from the board. The RSAC currently has three work parties, the root server system metrics work party just formed, just had its first meeting today, and this work party is concerned with defining what it is that looks, what good looks like for the root server systems, for the root server system, and also root server operators. So this has just gotten underway and has just begun. So the Studying Modern Resolver Behaviors work party is the second work party that the RSAC has. And this work party is concerned with investigating the behavior of modern recursive DNS servers, both looking at code of recursive DNS servers and also looking at how they interact with authoritative servers. The third work party that the RSAC currently has is the service coverage of the root server system. And this work party is concerned with investigating, trying to determine what a good service is for the root server system in maybe a certain area, and that area could be topological or geographical. It's really interested in trying to understand what a good service coverage for the root server system means. I'll advance to the next slide. Okay. So as part of its organizational effectiveness review, the RSAC has completed its feasibility assessment and initial implementation plan They completed this in late 2018, and currently the RSAC is waiting on a response from the ICANN board on this plan. They've already started implementing some of the recommendations from the independent reviewer, including drafting a yearly work plan and creating onboarding resources for both RSAC and RSAC caucus members. The RSAC will host an information session at ICANN 64 on Tuesday, March 12th, and there will be a formal RSAC meeting on Wednesday, March 13th. Both sessions are open to observers. So those are open sessions. That was a quick update. Now I'm going to turn it over to my colleague, Steve Shang, who will give you an update on the Security and Stability Advisory Committee.
Thank you, Andrew. Since ICANN 63, the SAC published three documents. I'll provide a brief preview of them. The SAC will discuss them in detail at ICANN 64. The first document, SAC 101 version 2, is a updated document regarding access to domain name registration data, also known as the WHOIS data. The SAC made this update just two reasons. One is to reflect the evolving circumstances in relation to ICANN's temporary spec, as well as the ongoing EPDP effort in this area. The SAC also took the opportunity to clarify a few of the recommendations given based on the feedback received after the first version of the document published. That is to enable the ICANN board and the organization to take action and improve the implementability. The second document, SAC 103, is SAC's response to the public comment for GTLD subsequent procedures initial report. Here in this document, the SAC provides comments in various areas that touches on security and stability, namely, for example, the reserved names, string similarity, IDNs, domain name abuse, root scaling, as well as name collision. The last document, SAC 104, is SAC input to the EPDP initial report. Here, the SAC provide a set of six overarching comments of the initial report, as well as detailed input on seven recommendations. The two SAC activity highlighted here, one is the name collision analysis project. Here, the SAC finished all its internal deliberations of the project proposal and is waiting for the board technical committee and the entire board to take the next steps. And the, as Andrew mentioned, RSAC completed its independent review. The SAC has done similar as well. And here in this stage, the SAC is drafting a feasibility assessment of the independent examiner's report. So that's a quick overview of SAC activities. I'll hand over to my colleague Ozan for Q&A. Ozan, thank you.
Thank you, Steve. And hello, everyone. This is Ozan again. We will now continue with a questions and answers session. And you will shortly note that in the Adobe Connect room, microphone rights will be enabled. And to activate your microphone, please click on the microphone icon at the top of the toolbar and follow the instructions. If you have any questions or comments, you may go ahead and raise your hand to get in the queue, or you may type your question or comment in the chat box. I would also like to remind you to mute your microphone when not speaking. So I'll pause here for a few seconds to see if there's any hands raised or any questions or comments in the chat box. And I see Rob has also responded to some of the questions that were in the chat box during the GAC presentation. And while you think about your questions to ask policy team, I'd like to let you know that we received two policy development process or PDP related questions in advance of this webinar through the registration form. So while you're doing that, let me read them out loud and let's address those first. So the first question we received was how to ensure that community public comments and recommendations are taken into account during PDP and other issues. And the second one was, how can I contribute to ICANN from LAC, Latin America Caribbean, as a chair of the policy development process in LACNIC? David, would you like to respond to these questions first? And then other policy colleagues are welcome to add to your response from their perspectives.
Yes, thank you very much. The question is a good one, and it talks about the role of public comment in all the work that we do at ICANN, be it policy and advice development or other activities. And the public comment is a mechanism that gives the ICANN community and other stakeholders an opportunity to provide that input, comment, or feedback. It is part of the policy development process and it is in the procedures in a formal way, allowing for refinement of recommendations before further consideration of potential adoptions and the various working groups that deal with policy development processes look to that at various stages of their work so that they are guided by community reactions. Of course, public comment is also used to guide implementation work, reviews, operational activities of the organization. And so to that extent, also deemed very important. But to show you how some of the various supporting organizations and advisory committees look at that, I'll let my colleagues who deal with that on a regular basis talk about that. Maybe we'll start with the generic name supporting organization. Marika, if you could, please.
Yeah, thank you very much, David. This is Marika again. So indeed, from the perspective of the GNSO policy development, that there are various opportunities during the process where the community can provide input in the form of public comment. And actually, that there is a requirement on PDP working groups to review, analyze, and assess the input and also demonstrate what they did with the input. And I think I referred previously when I was talking about the EPDP to the public comment review tool. So that's actually a mechanism that the GNSO working groups use to document how they reviewed the comments and what changes, if any, they made as a result of that. So that is a way in which commenters can review and basically track back what happened with their input. And of course, all that information is also provided to the GNSO Council in the context of a final report, so they can also assess and make sure that input that was received, whether it was through public comment or other opportunities during which input is provided, that those were duly considered. In relation to contributing, there are various ways in which people can participate in GNSO policy development activities. As mentioned, there are various public comment opportunities. There are also more direct ways of participating by joining as a working group member or participating through stakeholder group and constituencies in the development of their statements and viewpoints in relation to policy development. And so I know we are running out of time, but if you're happy to follow up with the person that asked these questions if they're looking for further detail. And I think Bart may want to add something from the CCNSO perspective.
Yeah, maybe let me say in my introduction, and that's almost an hour ago, but a lot of material I've passed in. I've alluded to the PDP on retirement of CCTLDs, and say as I said in that introduction, is the working group will meet on Saturday afternoon for 3 hours, and that's an open working group meeting. And so if you're interested in the retirement, you're welcome and to participate in the discussion if you feel comfortable doing that, because I think that's one of the things Marika also said. participating and halfway through is sometimes difficult because, say, people have taken quite some time to reach a certain stage, are very familiar with the length or with the terms, and they use a certain jargon. We are very aware of this, but at the same time, it is the evolution of thinking and the evolution of the work itself that is that you encounter. So that's one opportunity. Another more informal opportunity is, for example, at the CCNZO meeting itself, where the working group, or in this case the retirement working group, presents its results to date and looks forward to what it needs to discuss in the near future, and again seeks feedback from the CCTLDs present and others who are interested in the topics. And they do this type of presentation also to other interested communities, especially to the Governmental Advisory Committee. And then the third opportunity, of course, is the more formal way of providing feedback and comments. That is through the public comment period. And that's a very highly, I would say, structured way of providing feedback and to ensure your comments have been taken into account. I think it's a good thing to check the summaries of staff, and we do our best to be as impartial and reflect the comments, and that in whatever tool we use. And then, say, the next phase in the next report is you can see how the working group has taken into account the public comments, because there is always, to my experience at least, a report or that you can see in the next report or paper how they dealt with it. So that's more or less the way the CCNZO is doing it. I don't know if any of my other colleagues wants to step in on this one.
Thanks, Bart. I just want to quickly, on the second part, and welcome the question from the chair of a policy group in LACNIC, asking how best to be involved. Of course, we do make sure that a public comment and an update of the various policy and advice work appear in the regional newsletters as another way to notify people of developments. And, of course, the public comment period is another way of participation and involvement. But in terms of the Latin American region, my colleague Heidi might want to talk a little bit about their policy work in Latin America. Heidi?
Heidi, we cannot hear you at the moment if you are speaking.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes, we can.
Okay, thank you. At the global level, people can contribute to the At-Large Consolidated Policy Working Group. They meet weekly, and they talk about really important policy issues for At-Large. And then at the regional level, of the Latin American and the Caribbean Island Regional At-Large Organization, or LACRALO, they have recently started several regional working groups on key policy issues that will then feed into that global level consolidated policy working group. So Evan has put those links in. They are all public calls. The LACRALO call has Spanish-English interpretation. So those are two ways that you could contribute to the policy development process within At-Large leading up to more ICANN-related issues. Thank you.
Thank you, Heidi.
Thank you very much.
Back to you.
Thank you, Heidi, David, Marika, and Bart. So this is a final call for questions. I'll pause here a few more seconds. And I see a question in the chat box now from Reza. question from Rob Hogarth regarding GEC. ICANN website, but it'll be representing Minister of IT.
We will look forward to welcoming you, Raza. Thank you.
Thanks, Rob. So, seeing no other questions, I'd like to remind you that all the materials of this webinar will be posted on ICANN website, and you can access it the materials through the link that I'll be pasting in the chat box now. And David, over back to you for your final remarks.
Thank you very much for taking time to listen to our updates as you prepare for participation in ICANN 64. And, of course, we welcome you both through remote participation, and hopefully this webinar and the webinars this week will allow you to select or focus in on the topics you're most interested in. And, of course, should you be there in person, we're happy to welcome you and see you at various sessions at ICANN 64. With that, I wish you safe travels if you are on your way to Kobe soon, or safe travels in the remote participation side of it. And I wish everyone a good evening, good morning, or good afternoon, wherever you may be. Thank you again for your participation in our policy webinar.